The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the September 2021 issue of Scout Life. We're going to look at the front cover. And it has a picture of some boys, old year scouts, just having a ball. The race is on. Speed and spirit are the names of the game at this epic rap rally. Dragonflies, nature's best hunters, fiction by the diary of a wimpy kid author, plus comics, jokes, and much, much more. And let's find out what much, much more that is. We go to the departments. Number two, page two, Hitch and Rack. Page three, Heads Up. Page seven, Ask Us Anything. Page eight, Scout Life Headliners. Page 40, Fitness First. Page 40, Religious Emblems. Page 41, What's Up on scoutlife.org. And page 43, Think and Grin. And our comic for this month, page 24, Mazes and More. Page 28, Lion Pride. Page 29, Tiger's Adventures. Page 30, Wolfgang. Page 30, The Bear Bunch. Page 31, We Blows Woody. Page 32, Dink, Duff, and Desi. Page 34, Pee-wee Harris. Page 35, Pedro. Page 36, Scouts in Action. Page 37, More Scouts in Action. Featured articles on page 10, The Great Race. Come to win. Cheer or chill out on this race, raft race down a Tennessee river. And of our features, the Nature Crew, Dragonflies. Here There Be Dragons. That's on page 14. And page 16, Fiction, Off the Hook, Part 2. And on page 20, let's look at the rainforest in this special Cub Scout section. Page 38, Scout Life, How to Build It, Summertime Sprinkler System. Let's dive in, starting with page two, Hitch and Rack, and here's our buddy, our male burro, Pedro. Pedro, are you a donkey or a scout? You look like a donkey, but at the same time, you look like a scout. That's from Swigan V in Boca Raton, Florida.
Not sure I've ever seen a scout that looks like yours truly, Strian. Then again, you'd be hard-pressed to find a donkey that mimics my matchless mug. Donkey? Scout? Make me a male burro.
Dear Pedro, when I read the first letter you published in April, Hitch and Rack, I couldn't believe it. What exactly did Bella mean when she said those nasty things about you? How could anyone stoop so low as to write such an insulting letter? Was she for real? No one can fill your shoes. Keep being what you are and doing what you're doing. Don't let anyone disrespect you. That's from Ain A in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Thanks for having my back, Ain. And that was just Bella being Bella. I can handle a little joking around, and you were just joking about that imposter stuff. Right, Bella? Bella? Hello?
Hello, Pedro. I'm writing to say thank you for changing the name of your magazine. I am a girl in Scouts BSA, so when you changed the name from Boys Life to Scout Life, it meant a lot. It is a much more inclusive title and reflects your audience much better. I enjoy reading your magazine and appreciate your willingness to change. That's from Hazel A. in Madison, Wisconsin.
Change is good, Hazel, especially when it makes people happy. Just as it would make the Scout Life staff happy if the boss were to change his cheese-stained jacket. Did that thing ever start out a green? Or did it grow into its horrifying hue?
Dear Pedro, thank you for trying to be more inclusive to girls by changing your name. However, as a girl, I am proud to be part of an organization that historically was Boys Only, and I feel like I'm almost preferred the name to stay Boys Life. I also know that many girls like the new name, so congratulations on making them feel more welcome. That's from Sophie S. in Madison, Wisconsin.
And the boss tells me change is also somewhat scary. Like that gut-churning jacket. He knows he can't make everyone happy, except by changing one particular article of outwear. But he can strive to do what he thinks best. Uphold the scout oath and law. Boss. Glean?
Heads up this month on page 4. Batter up. Watch the best young baseball players compete in the Little League Baseball World Series. The tournament is scheduled for August 19th through 29th on ESPN, ESPN2, and ABC. The Little League Softball World Series is scheduled for August 11th through 18th and will be broadcast on ESPN Networks. Our calendar for this month, August 15th, is National Relaxation Day. Kick back while you can. And August 25th through 31st is Be Kind to Humankind Week. Treat others as you want to be treated. August 26th is National Cherry Popsicle Day. August 27th is World Rock Paper Scissors Day. On this date, August 1st, 1962, Spider-Man debuts in the comic book Amazing Fantasy number 15. August 6th, 1991, the World Wide Web is introduced. And on August 14th, 1959, the United States satellite Explorer 6 snaps the first image of Earth taken from space. See it. Ryder and the pups travel to Adventure City with hopes of stopping Mayor Humdinger before chaos erupts in the city. Paw Patrol, the movie is set to roll into theaters August 20th. Rated G. News and notes, heads up. Off with its head. Regrowing a missing body part such as a leg or tail is common for some animals like lizards or geckos. But did you know some sea slugs can regrow their entire body? Researchers in Japan have discovered two types of self-decapitating sea slugs. This means they can remove their head from the rest of their bodies and keep living. Known as sacoglossan, or sap-sucking slugs, they are in the Elysia of Marginata and Elysia atrovirides families. The separation process takes up to 20 hours. At removal, the slugs feed on algae to help with body regeneration, which takes about 3 weeks. Researchers are looking into why the sea slugs self-decapitate and how the head can survive without the heart and lungs. National Prophet Day. Every year on August 17th, people around the United States bring awareness to the positive impact nonprofit organizations have on communities. Take this time to learn more about nonprofits like the Boy Scouts of America. Page 6, Texas Snow Shelter. Here we have a picture of a young man. He's in a snow shelter and we only see part of him, just his legs and feet. Last February, we experienced a record winter storm in Texas with record snowfall, extreme ice conditions, prolonged power outages, low temperatures, and more. It was a true survival situation for many people in our community. These events made me and my family think about my wilderness survival and emergency preparedness merit badges. We decided to build a large Quincy snow shelter. I wanted to see what it would be like to spend the night in that type of shelter in these conditions. I also liked the challenge. I slept in the snow shelter for 2 nights, with each night being a different experience. Despite the unexpected weather changes, I did take the opportunity to have some fun in the snow while it was here, since it's such a rare thing in Texas. And that's from Parker G. in Lakeway, Texas. Has anything exciting happened to you lately? If you have had an adventure or are under 18, write about it and send it to Reader's Page Scout Life, S306, Post Office Box 152079, Irving, Texas, 75015-2079, or via the e-form at scoutlife.org. You'll receive this official contributor patch if we print your submission. Ask us anything, heads up. Have a question and don't know who to ask? Jenny and Steve are here for you. I really want to go fishing, but my parents never want to take me to a lake. Is there any way I can convince them to take me? Steve, well, maybe you just need to show your parents how the lake can be fun for the whole family. With a parent's permission, search the internet to find a nearby lake that offers activities that others might be into, such as hiking, biking, canoeing, and more. Then type up a list and present it to them over dinner. Your parents might be so wowed by your preparation that they'll reconsider your request. And from Jenny, this would be a great activity for your troop, too. Bring up the idea with your senior patrol leader and offer to help organize the trip. Ask your mom or dad to come along to help. Once they see how much you enjoy it and how educational fishing can be, they'll probably be more enthusiastic about encouraging the hobby. Visit fishing.scoutlife.org for tips and tricks from a pro angler. I have lots of homework. When I finish and want to relax, my mom comes up with a bunch of chores I need to do. I understand I have responsibilities at home, but I need a break. What should I do? Jenny, come up with a bargain. Say for every minute you read or study a particular subject, you get 1 minute to relax. So if you put in 30 minutes of hard work, you get 30 minutes of downtime before you have to tackle your chores. Sorry, but you're not getting out of them completely. Steve, I would just add one tip. You've been at school all day using your brain, so it could use a rest. While chores are still work, they typically don't tax your noggin. When you get home from school, try knocking out the chores first, giving your brain a bit of time to recover, and then dive into the homework. That little break might help you tackle the homework with more passion. And hey, when you're done, the night is all yours. Have a question for Jenny and Steve? Write to Ask Us Anything. S306 P.O. Box 15209, Irving, Texas, 75015-2079, or through an e-form at scoutlife.org. Your name will be kept confidential. Sailing Eagles. Eagle Scout sisters succeed at sea. We have a picture of three sisters here in the Scouts. Heidi, Lucy, and Sally Vani, ages 18, 16, and 15, hometown Wilmette, Illinois, Scout rank Eagle Scouts, Lone Scouts, Northeast Illinois Council. They made headlines as members of the inaugural class of female Eagle Scouts, earning their Eagle Scout awards while living at sea on their family catamaran. The scoop? During the pandemic, the Vanis sailed for a year on the SV Love and Luck in the Sea of Cortez. The sisters worked on merit badges both at sea and on land when visiting countries such as Costa Rica, El Salvador, Mexico, and Panama. They held troop meetings each week, met with merit badge counselors, and completed their Eagle Boards of Review via Zoom. Power lifting to win. Life Scouts set records. We're talking here about Joseph Cabana, age 16. His hometown is Mount Vernon, Virginia. His scout rank, Life Scout, Troop 996 in Alexandria, Virginia. Joseph made headlines by winning his class and setting three USPA, United States Powerlifting Association, state records. Joseph set records in the 75-165.2-pound class for juniors, 13 to 15-year-old males in the squat, 264 pounds, bench press, 187 pounds, and deadlift, 385 pounds. Good job, Joseph. Next, we have James Licato. These three Eagle Scouts made headlines for being named top 40 finalists in the National 2021 Regeneron Science Talent Search. Chosen from among 1,760 applicants, each received a prize of at least $25,000. The Society for Science helps inspire and engage the next generation of scientific leaders. So we have James Licato. He's age 18. His hometown is Arlington, Virginia. His scout rank is Eagle Scout, Troop 648 in Arlington. His project? James designed a filter that removes harmful micropollutants from water. That's a nice picture here of James at work in his science garb, his scout's garb, and a nice picture of him with the sign, Regeneron Science Talent Search. Next, we have Michael Pavlicek. He's aged 18. His hometown is Ossining, New York. His scout rank is Eagle Scout, Troop 18 in Ossining. His project, Michael used his own struggle with allergies to research long-term treatment for allergic diseases. And finally, we have Jason Zhang, also 18, his hometown, Bowling Green, Kentucky. His scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 710, Bowling Green. His project, Jason discovered a process for creating pharmaceuticals without the need for toxic metals or polluting reagents. Good job, all of you. The Great Race. Come to win, cheer, or chill out on this raft race down a Tennessee river. As they prepared for the 42nd annual Great Hiwassee River Raft Race, the scouts from Troop 10 in Cleveland, Tennessee, had a plan. Finish with the fastest time. The scouts from Troop 1010, also from Cleveland, and had their own plan. Embrace the event's theme by dressing up in cool costumes and showing tons of enthusiasm. And if they finish with a decent time, so be it. Then there were the scouts in Troop 116 from Signal Mountain, Tennessee, who had a different kind of plan. Have fun, do the best they can, and enjoy their float down the river. That's the great thing about the annual Great Hiwassee River Raft Race, sponsored by Ocoee District of the Cherokee Area Council. There's room for all of the above. Participants get to build their own raft following specific safety guidelines and work as a team to paddle down a very calm section of the Hiwassee. It's just really fun, says 14-year-old Aubrey Webb from the Troop 1010. A lot of different troops get together and make rafts, and there's different themes every year that you can follow, and you can make costumes, and then you just race down the river. So we show a picture here on the top of the page. Safety boats accompany each raft down the slow-moving river. And all the boys are doing their rafting and just enjoying themselves. All done. Scouts exit the water at the finish line. And here's the young man above, Charlie Emanuel from Troop 60, tightens up a lashing. Below, Matthew Smith from Troop 10 keeps his team in front. First things first. For most troops, the process of building a raft that can support 5 to 8 scouts while also staying afloat begins weeks before the actual race. Troops that have participated in the event multiple times might be able to get it done the night before. Teams start with basic flotation under tubes, inner tubes. The number of tubes depends on the number of scouts that will be on that raft. Team needs one tube per scout, plus one extra just in case. Scouts use biodegradable twine to tie the raft together. That way, if some of the twine ends up in the river, no harm. Then they use naturally occurring wood. Most teams choose bamboo to provide a structure to sit on. The whole thing is tied together with the knots and lashings they've learned over the years in scouting. The final required item is a safety rope to be used to pull someone to safety. Hopefully, you won't need that. Some teams build really fancy rafts with such luxuries as footrests and seat backs. Others keep it simple and just build an easy flat platform to sit on. For video of the rafts in action, check out goscoutlife.org/raft race. We had the other scouts show the younger scouts. We had the older scouts show the younger scouts how to do proper lashing, says Ethan Bullock from Troop 116. Then we went back and checked all the lashing to make sure the raft wouldn't fall apart. Dressing up. Before any raft goes in the water, it's inspected for safety by race officials. Lashings are tightened or completely redone if necessary. The theme of the most recent Hiwassee race was Vikings. Let's just say Troop 1010 took this seriously. Very seriously. They called their team the Viking River Queens. They dressed up as Vikings, complete with shields. We go all out, Audrey says. It's just like something fun for us to do. We enjoy it every year. We had the shields on our raft for inspection, and we had our flag. It's just another fun thing to add to the race. For their efforts, they earned first place for best design. They also earned first place for best overall. because it turned out their boat was pretty fast, too. The race is on. With so many rafts participating, it would be impossible for all of them to start the race at the same time. Each boat is timed, and the fastest time earns the prize for that category. Let's just say that Troop 10 took this seriously, very seriously. There's a lot of encouragement on our raft, says Troop 10's Jacob Blackwell, 14, who was part of the Troop 10 raft they call Black Hawk. The raft captain calls out and went to paddle, so we're all like, one, two, one, two. You have to constantly be thinking that someone could beat us. You got to keep going. For their efforts, the Black Hawk won for fastest time. As for Troop 116, the scouts spent too much time getting stuck on a rock to compete for the fastest time award, so they just took it easy. We were just going out there trying to have fun with it, says 12-year-old Aiden Castellanet. You don't see a lot of civilization on the river. You're just floating down and admiring nature's beauty. After all, it was part of their plan. Tubing safety. Tubing can be loads of fun, but there are many hazards to consider. Inner tubes are difficult to steer, and they offer almost no protection in a collision. When tied together, tubes become a significant entrapment hazard. This is why you should go tubing only on slow-moving water. You must wear shoes and your life jacket and make sure you follow the BSA Safety Afloat guidelines. Learn more at go.scoutlife.org/safetyafloat. Aubrey Webb, Rayleigh Pine, Allie White, and Alexis Jones left to right from Troop 1010 accept their award for Best Design. For more information on the Great Hiwassee River Raft Race, visit goscoutlife.org/Hiwassee. Here, there, be dragons. Bats and birds are their specialties, but wildlife biologist Mark Kaiser and Selena Brigitte Kaiser love all species of critters. Both have worked for the staff of State of Florida and previously worked for Bat Conservation International on such programs as the Great Florida Birding and Wildlife Trail on the North American Bat House Research Project. The Nature Crew. Long before dinosaurs appeared on Earth, huge 1-pound bugs with wings nearly 2 feet wide dominated the skies. A swarm of those dragonflies might have carried off your tent. Dragonflies still look much like the same today, but they got quite a bit smaller over the course of 250 to 300 million years. Today, the largest dragonfly wingspans reach only about 6 inches. Dragonflies and damselflies have some really cool names. Sun dragons, shadow dragons, meadow hawks, pond hawks, skimmers, club tails, snake tails, jewel wings, and ruby spots. Dragonflies and their close kin damselflies are odonates. Odon is a Greek word for tooth. There are more than 5,000 species of odonates, and they occur on all continents except Antarctica. About 450 types live in North America. These insects have saw-like mandibles, mouthparts, which function like sharp teeth. Dragonflies are usually larger and stouter than damselflies. Plus, they hold their wings open while resting. The smaller, daintier damselflies close their wings at rest, from water to air. To find dragonflies and damselflies, look near water. Adult females lay eggs either at the surface of still bodies of water, on the ground, or nearby on an aquatic plant. On the eggs hatch, the larvae start to grow. Dragonfly larvae are called nymphs, and they live underwater, breathing air through their gills. Nymphs eat aquatic insects, tadpoles, and even juvenile fish. After they molt many times, taking months or even years, they finally turn into adult dragonflies. As adults, they might live only up to several months. Once the adults leave the water and take to the air, they become one of the fastest and most maneuverable flyers in the world. Larger species typically fly up to 10 miles per hour, but the fastest ones have been recorded at nearly 30 miles per hour. Moving up and down, sideways, and even backward with ease, dragonflies are incredibly agile flyers and also great at hovering. They are such amazing flyers that scientists have been trying to mimic their wing design for tiny air vehicles that might help survey dangerous areas that can't easily be reached from the ground. From great to awesome. Like other insects that rely more on smell or touch, dragonflies rely almost entirely on vision. Their eyes take up much of their head. They have tiny antennae to help determine airspeed. A dragonfly's compound eyes are made up of tens of thousands of small lenses, which provide exceptional accurate vision for hunting prey. With nearly a 360-degree field of vision and enable some species to see up to 40 feet. Dragonflies can see in color, and many also see ultraviolet and polarized light. Dragonfly larvae are great hunters, but as adults, they are awesome. They have been documented catching their intended target up to 95% of the time. They eat fly insects such as mosquitoes, butterflies, moths, flies, and sometimes even damsel flies. Keen eyesight, powerful wings, and strong, spiny legs help them grab and hold on to prey, which they almost always capture in flight, and make them formidable predators. But dragonflies also have to watch out for predators. Nymphs might get eaten by fish, frogs, toads, turtles, and birds, such as herons, ducks, and kingfishers. Adult dragonflies in flight are most often caught by birds, although they sometimes get tangled up in large spider webs. How to help. Loss of wetland habitat is the main reason for decreases in numbers of dragonflies. If you have the space on your property, the best way to encourage these fabulous mosquito-eating insects to live near you is to create a small, permanent freshwater pond. A minimum size to attract dragonflies and damsel flies is about 8 feet in diameter. Adding some native aquatic plants and some tall perches will entice them even more. On the migrating species only 5% in North America, the wandering glider is the champion distance flyer. They have been known to travel up to 4,400 miles. There's a picture of one of our lovely dragonflies. And at the bottom of page 15, the common green darner can be found in every state. Empty skin of dragonfly larva. And before we leave for today, let's go to 43 for maybe a two quickies. Christian, what is Harry Potter's favorite school subject? Haley, defense against the dark arts? Christian, no. It's spelling. Pedro's pick. Warped Wise Man wonders, do they allow loud laughing in Hawaii or just a aloha? That's a Dennis G. from Antioch, California. And how about one more? Parker, what do you call a donkey with earmuffs? Connor, no clue. Parker, anything because it can't hear you. That's from Parker L. in Portland, Oregon. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.